Our text is from the gospel lesson that Pastor Adel just read, John chapter 12. I'd like to reread verses 12 and 13. When they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." When sickness and death, confusion and frustration, all of those things swirl around us, God has given us a Hebrew word, a prayer. That word is Hosanna, and it means save now. This is the word that the children and the disciples of Jesus were singing when he came into Jerusalem at the beginning of Holy Week. But even they were going to be amazed at just how God would actually fulfill that prayer. Hosanna, save now. Hosanna, this little one-word prayer, is found in Psalm 118. That's an interesting psalm. In our English Bibles, Psalm 118 is the middle chapter of the entire Bible. That's interesting because that psalm is a psalm about salvation. And that's what the whole Bible is all about. That's the central message. Psalm 118 includes these verses. I called on the Lord in my distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. In 1918, a telegram came to Sangamore Hill, the house, the home of former President Theodore Roosevelt and his wife. Quentin, the spunky little boy who played so many practical jokes when he was growing up at the White House, had been killed in aerial combat over France. It was the first time and still is the only time that a son of the president has died in combat. The world, the entire world, was shocked at this, but not the Roosevelts. This is what Mrs. Roosevelt said about that. "If you raise your sons to be eagles, don't expect them to live like sparrows." And T.R. said, "Only those who are ready to die are fit to live." Paul said something similar to that in his letter to the Romans. He said that because we are justified by faith, because we are saved, we can glory in tribulations, knowing that they produce perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character hope. Those are all the true effects of that little prayer, Hosanna, save now. Of course, the real tragedy is that the world doesn't say this prayer, and we, when we are being affected by our sinful nature, also tend to forget about the importance of this little prayer. You see, the world has always looked to itself for salvation, or to some idol, which is really a mirror, and you're still looking at yourself when you look into the mirror of an idol. We find our own self-confidence in the times of our great distress. As we even see today, worship often dismissed as a non-essential. And also, many who actually mock prayer as being weak and unhelpful at a time like this. I doubt that they realize the real outcome of their foolish logic. If there is no God to save because there is no God who has made us, if all we are is nature's throw of the dice, then what's the point of anything? Anything that we think or say or do is nothing more than that, nothing more than chance. We are doomed. we too are affected not only by the world, but by our own sinful nature. We have an attraction, a gravitation toward the solutions of this world before we look to the solutions of God and of His salvation. And so we find ourselves listening more and more to the experts on TV, who, by the way, are often wrong, and that's okay because human beings aren't perfect. But we are less and less drawn to God, who's never wrong, and whose words are always true, and whose salvation is the only sure thing in this world. Affected by that sinful nature, our hosanna tends to become weak. But of course, there was this man who came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. And he is the one who came because of our spiritual weakness. He's the one who came to this world that doesn't know God to bring people to God and to His salvation. Jesus prayed for His own salvation in the Garden of Gethsemane. "Oh, my Father," He said, "if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, but not as I will, as you will." Paul said in our epistle lesson to the Philippians, chapter 2, He humbled Himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Of course, that's what we'll be thinking about this Holy Week, and when we come back to worship, Monday, Thursday, and especially on Good Friday. Jesus would go to the temple, and His teaching would become very intense. His teaching was still, though, basically the same message. Repent, believe, and by faith live a new life. It is a Hosanna life, a life of salvation, not of fear, a life of joy and hope, not of frustration. Jesus Himself, however, would go all the way for us. Then would start the greatest social isolation that has ever occurred. Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane and He prays while His disciples sleep and then abandon Him, abandoned by the justice of this world under Pontius Pilate, and then nailed to the cross to be laughed at and mocked by all. Alone, in His suffering, like in our suffering, He cried out with a lamentation, "Oh, my God, why have You forsaken me?" And yet His Hosanna prayers continued even at the cross. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And finally, into Thy hands I commit my spirit." Jesus prayed that prayer faithfully. He brought about that salvation for all of us. For 3 days, the world would lay in darkness and defeat and sadness. His disciples would go to the tomb only to find it empty and an angel to say, "He is not here, He is arisen." The Hosanna prayer of salvation for Jesus was completely fulfilled as He knew it would be. As hard as it was for Him to pray it and to go through it, He knew it would be fulfilled. He would be saved, and we too are saved through Him. And so, today, we have many kinds of Hosanna prayers that we should be praying and are privileged to pray. For example, Hosanna, save now. Save us now, Lord, through the hands of the doctors and the nurses and the scientists that are working for a cure for this disease. It is God who saves, but God does save through the people that serve Him. And so we pray for all of those people, and we pray for salvation to happen. We pray, Hosanna, save now. Our jobs, our businesses, and all of the other blessings of life that come when we are able to work and to help one another. Save now, Hosanna, especially from those who would like to use this troubled time as an opportunity to cause even more trouble and to take away freedoms. Save now, Hosanna above all. Save us from the powers and the principalities that would use this opportunity to crush people's faith in the name of humanism. Blessed is he, the people sang, quoting from Psalm 118. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Now, we already said that verse in our intro at Psalm this morning. You might want to go back and look at that. In fact, I encourage you to take a look at the entire Psalm later today. But we read this verse. It goes on to say, O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. It begins, Hosanna, save, and then send now prosperity. Both of those things go hand in glove with one another. On March the 22nd, I mentioned in my sermon this terrible plague that occurred in AD 250. Many people died of the disease, but what historians have noted is that many more died of the after effects, starvation and war. We need to be ready, because when the devil stirs trouble up in this world, you can expect more waves of wickedness to come. All the more reason to respond to that with Hosanna, save now. Jesus said in John chapter 16, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And in the very next chapter of the Bible, John 17, which is a long prayer, Jesus' prayer in the upper room, he said, Father, I do not want you to take them, that's you and me and all other Christians, out of the world, but I want you to keep them from the evil one. We're here for a reason. We're part of a pandemic and whatever ripples of trouble may evolve from there. We're here to be the witnesses for Christ. We're here to wave our palm branches before the world so they can know that there is a prayer for them and a hope. And it is Hosanna, save now. I've been advocating, at least to my family, for over a couple weeks now. Even before people were saying you should wear face masks, I was saying, if you go to the store, you should just be wearing a face mask. I don't care what it looks like or what you feel like. You should be wearing them. And I'm glad now that people have started to say that as well. I have an old face mask that I dug up out of my garage. And I wrote in big black letters on that face mask the word Hosanna. This past week, I had to go to one of the stores, and when I walked out and I was greeted by one of the workers at the store, she immediately recognized that word. And she said, have a blessed day. This is an opportunity, not just to complain, not just to be worried, but this is above all an opportunity to pray and praise and give thanks and to let the world know we have a hope and we have a salvation, and that rests in God, in his son Jesus, who took away the ultimate disease of sin to give us life now and life forever. Amen.